Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. I'm your host, and we have a packed show for you today.
Thanks for joining us. Before we dive into the news, let's take a quick look at the weather. If you've looked out the window this morning, you know it's a bit gray out there. Currently, we're sitting at 48 degrees with overcast clouds.
It is definitely feeling like a transitional spring pattern. We are expecting temperatures to peak around 57 degrees this evening, but then we'll see a sharp drop overnight. By tomorrow morning, we're looking at lows dipping down to around 38 degrees. And here is the really critical piece of the forecast. Despite the cloud cover, 42 Michigan counties are currently under a red flag warning for fire risk. That is a massive portion of the state. It's a great reminder that overcast skies do not necessarily mean humid conditions. The environment out there is incredibly dry right now, so local regulations regarding open burning and outdoor activities are strictly enforced. Please be extremely careful with anything that could spark a fire.
Absolutely. On today's show, we are digging into a scathing internal email from a former Grand Rapids City employee that alleges a culture of sexism and intimidation among top leadership at City Hall. We will also be looking at how the exact temperature swings we just mentioned are causing major headaches for West Michigan fruit growers, forcing them to take extreme measures to protect their crops. Let's get into it. Our first major story today centers on serious allegations leveled against top officials at Grand Rapids City Hall. A scathing internal email written by a former city equity employee has come to light, accusing four city leaders of allowing a culture of sexism and intimidation to go unchecked. The email was authored by Kiara Adkins, who spent more than 4 years working in the City of Grand Rapids Office of Equity and Engagement, or OEE. That office serves as the city government's primary social justice arm. According to its own website, the OEE employs former city activists and is explicitly tasked with championing an internal culture of equity. At the time of her resignation in 2024, Adkins worked as an equity systems manager. In her email, she didn't hold back. She explicitly named four prominent city leaders: City Manager Mark Washington, Assistant City Manager Doug Matthews, OEE Managing Director Brandon Davis, and Community Engagement Manager Andrea Riley Mukovitz.
The details of the allegations are deeply concerning. Adkins claimed that she was ignored, demeaned, and subjected to what she called shameful and deliberately poor treatment by the executive office and other city leadership. Specifically, she alleged that Assistant City Manager Doug Matthews engaged in sexist and racist treatment.
And her accusations against City Manager Mark Washington are equally severe. She alleged that Washington used microaggressions and mocked female colleagues. When an employee makes these kinds of claims against the very top administrative official in the city, it creates an immediate crisis of credibility for the entire organization.
There's also a significant professional grievance outlined in the email. Adkins claimed she was lied to about a departmental merger. According to her account, this deception was orchestrated specifically to prevent her from seeking a permanent director role. That position was ultimately given to Brandon Davis, who is now the OEE managing director.
The irony here is impossible to ignore. The Office of Equity and Engagement exists to dismantle these exact types of systemic issues. When the very people tasked with championing an internal culture of equity are the ones sounding the alarm about their own leadership, it raises fundamental questions about whether the city's stated mission aligns with its actual day-to-day operations.
Exactly. In her email, Adkins wrote that she resigned because she could no longer tolerate the treatment she was subjected to over several months. She even noted that despite the length of her letter, it was only a summary of the incidents and hurt she experienced. She called on others to push back against the injustices she highlighted. This puts immense pressure on the City Commission and other independent oversight bodies. The public will undoubtedly be looking for a response, and likely an independent investigation. You cannot have a department dedicated to social justice operating under a cloud of alleged racism, sexism, and professional retaliation.
It will be telling to see how City Manager Mark Washington and the rest of the executive office respond to these specific claims. Transparency is going to be crucial here, especially given the OEE's mandate to foster trust and equity within the community and the government itself.
To Turning now to a story that directly impacts our local agricultural economy. Those temperature swings we mentioned in the forecast are causing immense anxiety for West Michigan fruit growers. A series of spring cold snaps in April and early May has left the upcoming fruit season highly uncertain.
We've seen temperatures frequently dropping into the 20s recently. The problem is that mild temperatures earlier in the spring triggered the trees to bloom early, leaving their delicate buds incredibly vulnerable to these sudden freezes. According to Michigan State University Extension, early blooming crops like apricots and Japanese plums have already sustained damage.
And it's not just the early bloomers. Apples, which are a massive part of the West Michigan agricultural sector, are currently at what experts call the tight cluster stage. That means the buds are exposed but haven't fully opened, making them highly susceptible to frost injury if the temperatures dip too low for too long.
To combat this, farmers are basically going to war against the weather. They are utilizing active frost protection methods, which include running massive propane-powered fans to circulate warmer air down into the orchards. In some cases, they are even lighting large bonfires between the rows of trees to raise the ambient temperature.
Aaron Roth, the owner of Railside Orchards, spoke about the situation recently. He noted that while this season has been a grueling roller coaster of weather, he remains optimistic about the apple crop. He specifically contrasted this year with the devastating freeze of 2022, where many farms saw an 80 to 90% crop loss.
That 2022 freeze is still very fresh in the minds of local growers. The difference this year seems to be the nature of the cold. Instead of one catastrophic deep freeze that wipes everything out overnight, farmers are dealing with the cumulative effects of multiple smaller cold snaps. It's a prolonged period of stress.
And it is an incredibly expensive period of stress. Running those large-scale propane fans night after night requires a massive investment in fuel and labor. It really highlights a broader trend in Michigan agriculture. Investments in advanced frost protection technology are rapidly shifting from being an optional luxury to a mandatory cost of doing business.
You really have to feel for these growers. If you lose the buds in May, you lose your entire harvest in the fall. There is no second chance. With temperatures expected to drop into the high 30s again tomorrow morning, you can bet those fans will be running and the bonfires will be lit across West Michigan tonight.
We will continue to monitor the reports coming out of the MSU extension as the season progresses to see just how much yield was ultimately lost to this erratic spring weather.
All right. Let's pivot and hit a few more local stories making headlines today.
Sounds good. We've got updates on local elections, a major labor dispute, and some regional real estate news. Today is election day for several communities across Kent, Ottawa, and Muskegon counties, with voters heading to the polls to decide on key local millage proposals and ballot questions. The focus is heavily on school funding. Zeeland and Grand Haven Public Schools are both seeking a renewal of an 18 mil non-homestead property tax for operating costs. Grand Haven's renewal alone provides about $20 million for their budget. Meanwhile, Public Schools of the City of Muskegon is asking for a $37.1 million bond for infrastructure, including a new career exploration center. Ravenna Public Schools is also seeking a $22.6 million bond for facility upgrades, like new roofs and HVAC systems. These local, off-cycle elections often have low turnout, but they directly impact property taxes and community services. Polls are open until 8 p.m. tonight.
A former employee at a Michigan subsidiary of Adentra Inc., a Canadian building products company traded on the Toronto Stock Exchange, is alleging they were terminated just one day after sending a certified letter to the company's board of directors regarding workplace safety violations.
The worker, a former order puller, claims a January knee injury was improperly classified by management as a near miss, which implies no injury occurred. After escalating the issue, they filed complaints with OSHA, MyOSHA, the EEOC, and state civil rights and labor boards.
According to the employee, MyOSHA inspected the facility and identified violations, while the state wage and hour division confirmed violations regarding retroactive pay changes. It's a stark contrast to the corporation's publicly stated commitments to cultivating healthy workplaces.
In commercial real estate news, the CoStar Impact Awards have recognized a major industrial lease in Grand Rapids, highlighting the 112,000-square-foot distribution center at 5400 International Parkway Southeast.
The award honors the project's role in providing much-needed industrial space in a significantly underserved area. It reflects broader regional efforts to combat the growing scarcity of buildable commercial land in West Michigan.
Sticking with real estate, CoStar also announced its top property sales awards for West Michigan this week, selected by a panel of over 500 industry experts. These awards recognize exemplary commercial real estate transactions completed in 2025. For the local market, they serve as a key indicator of economic health, showcasing which specific developments professionals believe will have the most transformative impact on our neighborhoods.
That is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to the feed and leave us a review. We'll catch you tomorrow with more news from across West Michigan.